What we're going to do is we're going to be teaching probably in the next couple of weeks or however long it takes. Are we justified by faith or are we justified by works? And the answer is yes. But when we read, and we're just going to take some time. Now, I will tell you this. We do have a Galatians series for those who may want it. The Galatians series that we went through a few years back is pretty much almost a scripture by scripture to bring into context what Paul was saying. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question right here. When it says that we're justified by faith, who said that? Paul said that. The one who said, but we're justified by works, who was that guy? James. All right, so you already know that you've got two Jewish men who are saying something that looks like what they're saying is totally opposite and totally opposing one another. But here's the thing. Who was Paul called to? Jews or Gentiles? Gentiles. And who was James called to? The Jews. So what you have is even though both ministered to both. Because whenever James was ministering in the congregations that he was going to, there were the mixed multitudes that were there. So was Paul. Paul, whenever he ministered, and you know this because how many times he's gotten beaten and thrown out of the synagogue, you knew that's exactly where he was at. So the reason why I don't have a PowerPoint is because this thing grew and grew and grew. And there's so many different angles. What scriptures do you use? What scriptures do you not use? And it's hard not to use most all of them. And you have to understand, whenever you're dealing with the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, okay, let me just say it like that, because I got to do a foundation here. You got to understand that Paul, let's say the Apostle Paul, when he wrote these epistles and he wrote these letters to the congregations, and you got to remember, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, he wrote to an individual. He didn't write them to a congregation. He wrote them to men to tell them and instruct them how to minister. Okay? I can almost believe that even when James wrote what he wrote to congregations, when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote what they wrote, they probably never dreamed that it would have gotten placed in the scriptures as we know it today. Because they had what they called the scriptures, and it was from Genesis to Malachi, and they talked about as what Yeshua said in the scriptures, or this is what was said in the scriptures. This is how we know because it was said in the scriptures. Every time you hear that word, they weren't talking about the New Testament because it wasn't penned yet. So you have to keep what's going on in context. Now, I wrote down this question, and I just want to ask you this question. I know this is crazy. When we, by faith, accepted Yeshua as our Savior, do we know that we accept Yeshua by faith? Amen? We believe that and we teach that. Okay? The question is how long do we serve Him when we accept Him? How long do we accept Him? But how will people know? By your works. By your fruit. How is anybody going to know what you believe? They know what you believe by what you do. I can say a lot of good things, but when you live with me long enough, you'll know if what I'm saying and what I'm doing lines up. But I'm just saying, is that not the truth? So what happens is, in Corinthians, we were reading, love is patient and love is kind. Remember that? Love endures all things, hopes in all things, believes in all things. And the reason why now I know that we have that love chapter as one of our main focal points on this year is this reason. If the Father places people in our lives to be able to minister Torah, I don't have a quarter on me. But if you take a quarter, you got a quarter? The thing about it is this. On one side of a quarter, it's what? A heads. Now, I know you can't see that I've got it on heads,
But why did you say heads first? Because that's normally what we do. But on the other side of the quarter is tails. But is it still a quarter? There's two sides. You always hear this expression, two sides to this coin. There's two sides to the story. There's two sides, but yet it's still the same thing. But what happens is in Christianity, it's either heads or tails. And they throw out that it's a quarter. So what I'm saying is what we do is really and truly, we lose the fact that this is a quarter by arguing about heads or tails. Is what we do in Scripture. We'll take a Scripture not knowing the whole context. What's the quarter for? The quarter was not that you were to argue if it's heads or tails or how they designed it. It was designed to do something. It's exchange. It's money exchange. It's to be able to purchase something. So what happens is this is why I'm throwing this in a foundation. Now, I'm going to read Galatians. You can go to Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16, I'm just going to throw some scriptures out. We're just going to roll. We get to a stopping point, and we'll pick it back up. Go to Galatians chapter 2. This is the reason why I say that we have to know that we have to operate in love. Because your family members, I know I've already been through this, and I still go through this all the time. Your family members do not like the idea about this Torah thing. About this law thing. They're going to argue on the other side of the coin. And you know what? They'll say, well, don't you believe that you're saved by faith? Yes. Well, what are you doing the Torah thing for? Where's this law thing come in? Well, it comes in like he's sort of telling us what to do and how to act and how to believe. How to treat one another. How to treat my wife. How to not murder somebody. How to, you know, he just sort of helps us out with that. Do we have a problem with that? Well, no, but you think you're saved by doing all of these things. I never said that. I just answered your first question. I'm saved by faith. I'm saved by the blood of Yeshua. I'm not saved by doing all of these works, lest any man should boast. But the deal is you're throwing out obedience to the commandments. Does he say, and Steve did a fantastic job on this, when he says in Leviticus that we are to eat a certain way, why does he say that? Because it's a way that every day we show that he is our king. There's a way that we show through obedience is a sign. Who do we belong to? I'm telling you, when you walk up to me and you see this ring, you don't have to ask if I'm married. It's a sign to show you that I am. And so the thing about it is in this word, and this is why I was saying, how do people know that we're a believer in Yeshua? There has to be signs. We have to give off signs. We have to show a ring somewhere or another. We do the Shema. Every week we do the Shema here. And the reason why we do it, because it says when we honor Shabbat, and this is another thing Steve said, Shabbat shows us weekly how we're bound to our king. It's a sign. People ride by here. We're filled up on Saturday. They don't have a clue what that sign means. But yet it's a sign because they'll say, y'all are in church and y'all need a bigger parking lot and y'all need all of these things. Well, would you like to come? Oh, I don't know. I said, well, look, I said, we can park it. You can back your vehicle so your tag is hidden. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, somebody seeing you. Or if you want to, we'll come pick you up so your car is not noticed. You know, or whatever you want to do. Because they understand, because they really don't want to come sometimes because they don't want to be what? Seen, because they don't have to answer any what? Questions. Or what are you doing over there at that occult? Did y'all offer a sacrifice that day? Well, I didn't see any smoke coming out of the chimney, but what did y'all eat? You know, they have all these questions. Do they have snakes? Do they have snakes? You know, you have all these questions. We've been there. We've done that. We're here. And people have questions. How many times I like to do this sometimes. When somebody asks me a biblical question, and I know that it's there to be challenging. I mean, it is not one of this, love bears all things, love endures all things. But there's some all things coming out, but it ain't from love in front of it. And I'll ask them a question, where's your Bible right now? I'll ask them that question. And you can see this. They're searching through the, where did I put that thing? You know, they're looking. But now they say, well, I just use my phone. I said, okay, I'll let you have that one. You still don't know where your word's at, but it's on your phone somewhere, okay? It's in an app. But see, the thing about it is usually a lot of times when people challenge you, I want to read this in Galatians 2, verse 16. It says, and this is Paul speaking. He says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Now, did I misread that? That's what Paul said. He says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Yeshua Messiah. Do I believe that? Absolutely. In context of what he's saying. So we also have believed in Messiah Yeshua in order to be justified by faith in Messiah and not by the works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Now, I want to ask you a question. In the book of Galatians, is that the only thing written there? How many chapters is in Galatians? Six? He has a lot more to say before and after that point in that statement. But a lot of times people will pull that. Now, since you're in Galatians and we're going to use that, let's just go to chapter 3, verse 11. And he said this, he says, because he's talking about something. He says, now it is evident that no one is justified before Yahweh or Elohim by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Now, you tell me how many times we've quoted these scriptures, we know these scriptures, and we understand these scriptures. We have quoted them, we've said it, and people will tell you that back to you. And they'll say, because of this right here, these two scriptures, why are you at River of Life? Why are you doing that Torah thing? Why are you doing Shabbat? Why are you doing these Jewish feasts? Why are you eating kosher? Why are you doing these things? But you got to understand something. The word justified. But before we get to that definition, let's go to James. Chapter 2. As you go to James chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 21. If you've read your Torah portions this week, we were in around Genesis 15 and so on, okay? There was something said in Genesis 15, verse 6, and it says, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, you're going to see through the scriptures, Paul and James both tap into that saying. They're going to refer back to, but who are they referring to? Abraham. So you have to understand that when Peter and James, if they're talking about something and they're tapping back into Abraham and what's going on there, you have to understand what went on there. You understand what I'm saying? You just can't just grab this thing out of the air. It's not a snowball that we can just grab a scripture and we can hurl it at somebody and hope that we hit them with it. Because it's not going to stick. It's just going to bust up. And it's not going to do any damage. It's not going to do anything. Because look what James says. Was not Abraham, he starts off, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Now it looks like here he's now contradicting what Paul was saying in Galatians. He says, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, and Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Elohim. When you go through Galatians and Romans and the writings, you will see both in these men, they're always going to go back to Abraham, and they're going to pull him as a reference point when they go and they speak. Justified. Justified, the definition is justified. And this is what it says. Justify is to free of guilt and penalty attached to a grievous sin. Now, this come out of one of the dictionaries, and I don't remember which one. I didn't make this up. But it's what justified means, to free of guilt. When we're justified, this is what he's doing. We are now free of the guilt and the penalty that's attached to our sin. That's what being justified means. But yet you have one, and they use this word justified by faith and justified by works, but they're using it in context to where that you're justified by works. In other words, they're trying to say to me and you that we're being justified by the things that we do. And it's not by the blood and it's not by faith. And my thing is absolutely we are justified by faith and we're justified by works. Because just what we said a while ago in our little bitty montage that we were doing is whatever you believe, I will know what you believe by what you do. And if what we're doing is lining up with the scriptures, then you know where my faith is. But here's the biggest problem that I have, and I think that we have, is we have to be very careful not to judge somebody whenever we're being attacked or when we're being challenged in our walk. That's where love has to show up. See, what you have too in Genesis 12, since we've been going through the Torah portion, Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, he calls him Abram at the time. He's not Abraham yet. So he's saying, I will make you a great nation, and in you all the nations will be blessed. All right? He's making a covenant with Abraham, and he's giving a promise to Abraham. Whenever you get to 15, and I'm not really sure, when is it? I think 17, Genesis 17, 5 is when his name is changed to Abraham. So he's still Abram, and he's giving him all of these covenants. He's making these covenants, and he's doing all of these things with Abram before he even, and Sarah has a name change, where really you're seeing a ratification of a covenant. But in Genesis 17 is the circumcision chapter. This is where he's promising a son, and I can't go through and read it, but whenever he's telling Abraham, you're going to have a son, it said Abraham laughed. Because Abraham knew at that time, at 100 years old, he was beyond age to be able to have a child. Sarah also gets a name changed and says, by this time next year, you will have a son. But here you have two people that are just beyond their age. But to me, what it shows is it shows that the Father is in control of everything. And that's what the faith is all about. Is Yahweh is doing this, not you. See, I gave you a promise, and there was a lot of testings and trials that Abraham went through, just like we do. Going back to the church world thing, we make everything that we do an either or. But what the Father is doing is he's trying to show you and tell you that when you come in covenant, there's a process of sanctification that happens to build you into the character and the man and build you in the image of Yeshua that we need to be built in. And what do we do is in churchianity, because we're not really into that, we're into fighting about, you know, what's said here, what's said there, what's believed here, when is he coming, when is he not coming, did he already come? And we forget, like I told somebody the other day, whenever I was raised as a good Baptist, this is what happened to me. I was taught of the things of the past and things of the future, but never things in the present. And the reason why, because the presence makes us too stepping on the toes things. I have to give up too much. But if I stay in the past or the future, I feel good. I'm in this feel good. But the Father lets us know things in the past, and he lets us know things in the future, but he's dealing with us in the present, because he's telling us, as in the present, here's examples of things that happened in the past. If you do these things, there's blessings. If you don't do these things, there's cursings, and they will fall on you during the present. And here's the thing. If you will do these things, look at your future, what it's going to hold for you. That's what it's about. But the Father is wanting to do something dynamic in our lives. But the thing about it is we can't let, you can't let, I can't let, we can't let distractions hinder us. We have to know what the Father is doing in our life. And He has to know that He's using everyone in this building. He's using everyone that understands, not only here but everywhere, of what it means to be able to minister to those where I used to be. Remember, we talked about the only time that you can look down on somebody is when you're bending down to help them up. We have to have that heart, because I'm saying this too in this part is because I know that you can be frustrated. I know that I can be frustrated. I know when people will challenge the word and challenge the word, we have to be long-suffering. We have to love. We got to endure. And we got to be able to absorb. It's not easy. I'm just telling you, it's not easy. Even today, you know, I went out and ate, you know, with a relative just this week. After being in this for how many years? Since 87. I still get challenged. Just like, you know, it's my first day, you know, and it's just, but yet when you go and try to share the word, where's your Bible? You're just closed off, and it gets frustrating sometimes. So the reason why I believe that we're going to have to understand this about justified by faith and justified by works is one main reason, is because we really are obligated to them to answer this question. And to be able to rightly answer it, to be able to answer everything in context. But they have to be, and this is where I'm just saying at the very beginning, I will answer that question. If you ask me the question, are you justified by faith or works? And I'm going to tell you it's both. Now, since you asked me the question, do we have the liberty to sit down with one another as gentle souls? And let's go through, do you really want the answer? Or are you making a dig? That's what you have to find out first. Are they stabbing you with a sword to make a dig at you? Or do you really want a dialogue? And that's what you really have to just ask them back. Start there. You know, and that's what I've done. And a lot of times, I will tell you, really almost 100% of the time, they'll tell you, well, it's really a dig. And at least I appreciate your honesty. In other words, you wanted to tell me that you didn't agree with me. But yet you asked it in a question form. That's one thing you have to deal with first. I do believe this when it says, don't cast the pearl among the swine. Don't get up on your eagle's wings and just fly down on with your talons and just grab them and shake them. Because that's not going to do any good. The main thing is, what is the motivation? Because do you know what? I do believe in this year, though, they are going to be people that's going to be standing off at the side, and they're going to be listening in to the conversation. The person that's doing the digging, they're diggers. But the thing about it is you will have people that while they're into this digging mode, when they see the fruit of properly responding, that's going to do something to them. And the next thing you know, it's going to open up their ears to be able to hear what the truth is. Because we don't ever know. You know, we told that story. You never know, is it about the man in the wheelchair or was it about the stewardess? You know, who was the one who was really being ministered to? You think it's one person. But guys, the majority of the time, when I think that the Father is wanting me to minister to this person, it's never that person. But I'm on a mission, and I ain't giving that person up. But what happens is there's people along the side that hears the dialogue, and they hear it, and then they will pull me to the side, and that's the one. And that's the one that usually is the one who's getting it and what the Father is calling. So there again, don't get focused on one person. Amen? I'm going to finish this up right here because then we're going to get into a bunch of other scriptures because I got a bunch of them. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to finish up this little introductory part right there. And then we'll come back in context and we'll go back through Galatians and James. In verse 8, it says this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, did something. Obeyed to go out from the place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out knowing, now this is King James, whether he went. Not knowing whether he went. But see, here's the first thing. I want you to catch this in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Now this is a faith chapter, Hebrews 11, and every one of us know that it's a faith chapter. Find me a New Testament believer in Hebrews 11. You won't. Okay? So faith was in the Old Testament. I want you to know that to start with. That ought to be something to tell us that if you think faith is a New Testament thing, it's not. It started in the Tanakh, in the Torah. In the beginning is where faith has always been. But he's saying here in this chapter, he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, in other words, Yahweh called him, but do you know what? He did something, and that's works. So faith and works is together. You won't know. How would you know? By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. What does that mean? By faith, Abraham. If I just left it there, by faith, Abraham, Abraham had faith? Well, how do I know he's got faith? That's right. So how do I know he has faith? It says, why? Because when he was called, he obeyed. That's how you know he had faith, because whenever he was called, he obeyed what the Father called him to do. That's what we're really talking about here, that you are justified both ways, by faith and by works, unto the place to receive and inherit. And it said he went out not knowing where he didn't have Google Maps. He didn't know where he was going. He wasn't given a GPS coordinates. He just said, you're going to go to a land that I'm going to show you. And guys, that's why I like that word, by faith, Abraham. Because I can promise you this, if I just told you to go somewhere, just go north, just go, none of you would go. I know I probably wouldn't go either if I heard, you know what I'm saying? So this took tremendous faith to turn and leave your family, leave what is comfortable, and to go to a land that's foreign to you. You don't even know who's there, who's ruling, or what even. He didn't even lay it out to him. He said, you need to get up and go. But Abraham, somehow or another, had such a relationship that he trusted that the Father, when he ministered to him to go, and that's what he was saying by faith. Verse 9, he says, by faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. A lot of times in stories, do you know that Jacob was a young boy when Abraham was still alive? A lot of times when we read scriptures, a lot of times we think it goes like this. Abraham, when he's done, he's dead. And then Isaac shows up, he's done, he's dead. And then Jacob, you know, we seem to read like that. But Jacob knew his grandfather. He knew. So you see here that they were dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. And it says this, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was Elohim. And then it goes on, and I'll finish with these two scriptures here, because I wanted to bring Sarah into it. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age. That's what we was talking about before. Since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore, also, there sprang of one. Now, this is talking about Abraham. Tammy, I want you to read. You have a mic. Read verse 12 out of your version instead of the King James.
Therefore, there are born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
So you see, even here, what he was saying here in this chapter, in this part of the scriptures, even Sarah was past age. Abraham, past age. The Father wanted everyone to know that Yeshua was going to come through a miraculous birth through a virgin birth. Everything is type and shadow of this. But he's trying to show that there's nothing that me and you can do that's going to further the kingdom of Elohim through salvation, through anything like that. It's going to be his doings. Amen? It's going to be his doings. But yet, by us walking in it, doing what he has commanded us to do, there's going to be fruit from it. The Father just has a way of ministering to us, sharing with us, doing what he has to do in our lives, putting us in positions to where it's tough, to where we really, really have to believe that when we step out and do, whether it's like I've had people's moved here. By faith, they've moved here. That's a hard thing to do, to pull up roots and move here, hoping and praying that the Father is doing something here. It's one thing to live here, you just drive a little ways, but to turn around and move here, have other people turn around and say, I'm going to retire and be here. I'm not even going to further my career over here. I'm going to shut it down here, get this job, and we're going to do this. This is what faith is all about. But how do I know their faith? Because I see what they're doing. People's putting into action. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we go into this, Father, I just pray that you will be able to help us, help me convey, but help us, Father, with right attitudes, to be able to explain to our family members, to explain to people that we come in contact with, Father, to rightly divide your word. Because we know, and I understand, and I know you understand, and Father, that so many times people want to be in the kingdom, but they don't want to do the things required to be there. Father, we, in a gentle spirit, with love, bearing all things, enduring all things, Father, are going to have your counsel. We're really going to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 11. We're going to have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, counsel, power, might, reverence, to be able to articulate to the people from Scripture, from the context of the Scripture, Father, exactly what it means when Paul and James looks like they're arguing and they're opposed to one another. But they're not. They're really saying the same thing. So, Father, I just pray we go through this. And I know, Father, that with all the vast Scriptures and time, it's not easy. But, Father, we're asking that you would just do what you do best in our lives. And, Father, that you will help us put this together to where, Father, that we will be able to, by your word, minister back to people. Because it's your word that sets us free. The misunderstanding of your word has caused a lot of problems in our society. So I pray, Father, that we will have clarity as we go through this and as we get through the end of it. And, Father, I just pray that you'll be glorified in it. And I just pray, Father, that we can see that by the very faith that we have, our fruit, which are works, are produced, that people may see and know who we are more clearly. And I pray, Father, that our fruits and our works do line up with your word. Because if it doesn't, we need to make corrections. So, Father, as we're going through this also, you're going to be ministering to our lives. If there's something not going on like it needs to be from your word, Father, correct us and may we line up with you. And we thank you, Father, for it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Oh,